to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on horror movies, but not in October. I am Kayla, and I am here with
Noah, and we are orphans.
Aw, bummer.
You know that guy, I love that TikTok guy when it's like, you know, when it's all those videos where it's like throwing a rock down a well and then he'll stitch it and he's like, ain't very funny, is it? Because there could be orphans down there and that rock could have hit the orphans and killed them.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know where you were going because I was like, I don't think I'm familiar with that. But then once you started doing it, I was like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
right,
about.
Yeah, I love that guy. I just saw one of his videos today on my For You page. Get him. We should have had him on the Orphan podcast.
I like the duets of him, of people being like, starting to say something and then he like jumps in with it.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like us at the end of our episodes when we try to say our outro at the same time.
Ah, yeah. Kind of.
You know, not as successful, but the same principle. I wonder if he's seen Orphan. I hope so.
Yeah, maybe.
And Orphan First Kill.
Yeah, so sponsored him. We're talking about two movies today. Orphan.
Double feature.
Orphan, like, it's not really a we've never seen, like you said last week, but it's Orphan because you kind of have to watch it to watch Orphan First Kill, which came out this week, limited in theaters and also on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I watched it on Paramount Plus.
I did too. It was only showing like over an hour and I'm glad I didn't go that far. It wouldn't have been worth it.
No.
If I'd driven that. If it was like 10 minutes or like 20 minutes, maybe I would have gone to the theater, but
I don't even know that it's worth my Paramount Plus subscription because like I pay for Paramount Plus. I don't really know why I do.
Because of the old secret force, right? Is it that Owen Wilson?
Secret headquarters. That was actually a fun movie. Not gonna lie.
You know, between Secret Headquarters and Orphan First Kill, we're getting just all the theater quality releases.
I would rather watch Paramount Secret Plus. Headquarters any day over Orphan First Kill.
Secret Headquarters First Headquarters.
No, I have it for what is on Paramount, but then also they have all, people don't know this, but they have all the rights to all the soccer channels. And so that's soccer. Like one of the only places you can watch some of the like other soccer leagues. So unless you have like DirecTV or something, which we don't. So
you go and you watch Orphan First Kill and then to wind and down, then you watch a little bit of football.
Mm-hmm.
But before we talk about these two horror films, we need to first talk about our question of the week last week, the answers we got. At the end of every episode, we ask a question pertaining to the episode. So last week, we talked about The Nice Guys. And because you had the experience of Ryan Gosling was someone who you weren't crazy about, and then over time, you've grown to like him a little bit more.
Yes.
We asked everyone what film role changed your mind on an actor you previously disliked. If you want to skip this section and not hear everyone's answers, then you can just go to the timestamp in the description. But I'm interested to hear the answers, so I will not be hitting the timestamp.
Yeah, I am very interested. I only looked at one of these, so I'm excited to see what the other ones are.
Well, why don't you read the one that you saw first?
So the one that I saw was Jess K. Eyre on Twitter said, does my inner Schitt's Creek came out there, Moira Rose. does Dakota Johnson's AD house tour count?
Is that on YouTube? Is that the one on YouTube?
It is.
Or is that something else? Okay, I think I've seen that. That's a good house tour.
I think that's fair because I feel like a lot of people like weren't totally sold on Dakota Johnson. Mm. Like she wasn't as popular as in like she was a popular actress, but she wasn't a person of the people until those two
until
videos.
That and the Ellen thing.
That and the Ellen video. And those were like around the same time, I think. And so everyone was talking about her kitchen and the limes. And then they're talking about her takedown of Ellen DeGeneres. And ever since then, like, she's just been top tier internet. Yeah. I'm here for that. I agree with that.
Yeah, and she's a good actress too. So I think if your Chris Pine paparazzi photos count, then I think that
the Dakota 100%. Johnson
house tour can also count.
Yeah.
Staying on Twitter, we have, this one's interesting. Benny Burrito on Twitter said they avoided all things Leo due to the rage around Titanic, but he won them over with The Departed.
Interesting.
Which is wild, because I feel like The Departed was like, I mean, I think The Departed was a big change in his career, but he had a lot more roles before that.
So, wait. This is what I'm hearing here. Is Robert Pattinson today's Leonardo DiCaprio?
Okay, but Titanic is like actually a good movie, though.
Twilight's so a good
that's,
movie.
I think maybe that's well in the same way. But, I don't know.
But Leo wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't popular because he was like, he was popular because he was cute.
Yeah, I do think he was a better actor though than Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the concept of someone being in a movie and being a teen heartthrob, and then you're kind of like, maybe like I'm gonna avoid movies with this person because they're a teen heartthrob, but then all of a sudden they come out of the woodworks and you're like, wait a second, are they a good actor? And I feel like the same thing kind of happened with Robert. I feel like that happens when you have a young, attractive actor who like starts in those kind of roles and then breaks into an acting scene.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, I'm just surprised The Departed is the one, because I feel like Catch Me If You Can or Gangs of New York or The Aviator were like that movie maybe. So it's surprising, sure. You know, took that long, you know, for Benny to come around on Leo, but you know, he's here now. And then I think we have one other one on Twitter before we can move over.
Yeah, Robbie said Gary Oldman as Norman Stansfield. He said, I had always been generally bored with his performances, but he brings a fully realized presence and command to Leon, 1994, one of the best aspects of the entire film. Have you seen Leon?
I haven't. I know you haven't either. Are you a Gary Oldman fan, though? What are you feel about him?
I feel, I would say ambivalent.
You know what turned me around on Gary Oldman?
What?
Mank. What a film.
Good damn. Old
Mank. I saw a Mank meme today. And I sent it to you. It was a good meme. Yeah, I've never been like huge on him. I just think he's good, but like I don't know if I love
sure.
him.
I don't know that like I've seen him in a lot of things that aren't kids movies.
Yeah, I mean Harry Potter is the big one.
Yeah, I'm looking through like Kung Fu Panda 2.
Classic all the way through.
The hit movie The Laundromat.
Wow, we reviewed that for like a few minutes, I think.
We did. Planet 51, Quest for Camelot. Yeah, I guess like
what a throwback.
I had never really like.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't seen a ton of movies that he's in.
Yeah, it seems that I haven't seen a lot that he's in.
He played Tiny Tim in Christmas Carol, as well as Bob Cratchit and Jacob Marley, but most importantly,
that's a great movie. I didn't know that he was in it though. Yeah, but I mean, he's someone that I'm ambivalent on. He's never really sold
me. Well, and I mean, I know a lot of people really like his performance in Leon, so that makes sense that would be the movie, too. Like, that's like one of his biggest roles, I think. So, yeah, that's a good choice that probably other people would have more to say on than we do. Moving over to the good old Instagram, owned by Meta, we have Zach Michaels, who said, I didn't understand Pete Davidson's appeal until King of Staten Island, which is funny because I don't think either of us have seen that movie.
But no, I have seen.
I think Pete Davidson is very funny, though.
I'm a big Pete Davidson fan, not going to lie. I get it. I've got it the whole time. People are like, maybe I kind of get it now. And that is fine. I understand maybe he could
it's
be.
It's fine
like,
to be wrong.
But I love it. I liked him in Big Time Adolescence.
Yeah, he was great in that movie.
I thought he was really good in that. I thought his cameo was good in Suicide Squad.
Right? Oh my gosh, that was so when he died, spoilers for Suicide Squad. That was rough. That was a sad time. Yeah, I just saw him in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies yesterday. He's great in that movie. He's really funny. He has like a really good way of just getting you to like pay attention to him whenever he's on screen. Like he has a really good screen presence.
Yeah.
So like, especially in that movie when there's like so many people and like famous actors in that movie, he's just like so magnetic and you're just drawn to his performance, whatever he's doing. So I've been wanting to see that, actually, that movie King of Staten Island, but like,
hey,
it was 2020, I think.
It's on Freevee.
Hey, Freevee for
the
win.
Yeah, it was
win.
One of the first ones that they did the you have to VOD. Pay $20. And I was like, yeah. I wanted to see that, but I am not willing to pay $20 for it.
And now then, it's free and I still haven't seen
by
it.
By the time it hit Hulu, I think first, I was like, I just don't care enough now.
Well, it's long. I think it's over 2 hours.
Maybe
it's like 2:20.
An hour and 37. I mean, 137. Oh. Sorry.
Okay. I was like, I was way off. No, but okay. Yeah. So it's almost 2:20. So that's long for a comedy.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it someday.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We have Carly. She said, I've been wanting to see this movie. She said, Tom Cruise, An Interview with a Vampire, which I've heard is like low-key, like one of his best roles.
Huh.
I think Tom Cruise is a good one, too, because like, I think, you know, until you see one of his really good performances, it's always hard to be, like, sold on
him.
Yeah,
maybe we should do that movie for, like, a we've never seen, maybe in Spooktober.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would love that. I think when I saw Magnolia, that he was really good in Magnolia, and Eyes Wide Shut. So, like, I think it's, like, until you see one of his really good, like, dramatic performances, I think, like, it unlocks a whole new level for him that's not just like plane jumping guy.
Sure.
yeah plane flying and jumping man,
my dude Maverick. And then Danny said Jude Law in Side Effects. Never was a fan of him until that movie. He gives one of the most underrated lead performances of all time in one of the most underrated and underseen films of all time.
Mm.
He's thrown out a lot of things there.
A lot of under stuff. It's Steven Soderbergh. I like Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Oh, Channing Tatum's in this, though. So I don't know if you would.
Oh.
That's already, maybe, but it's Jude Law. And you're
and
a big Jude
Rudy
Law
Mara
fan.
And Rooney Mara and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay, so am I overtake the Channing Tatum aspect for
you. Know the last movie that Danny said we should watch or he liked, we ended up really
bring it on.
Fired Up.
Yeah. Oh, Fired Up, another cheerleader movie. Too many cheerleader movies to count. You're right. I mean, this is definitely very different. But
are you a Jude Law fan?
I'm not a fan. I just don't know. I feel like recently all the clips I've seen of him are like people making fun of Fantastic Beasts. And that has really like messed up my view of him. I just saw a video today on Twitter of someone making fun of a scene he's in. And like, so I feel like I need to like see something else now that like I can think of him
that
more.
That is the one thing
that
is like really disappointing. And like, I get it. Like, I don't think anyone expected that franchise to be what it is now when it first started. And so you kind of think, oh,
no,
new Harry Potter franchise, let's do it. And then you're sort of stuck as Dumbledore. Like, he probably contracted into all of them.
No, yeah. That it definitely is a rough situation.
But Jude Law in The Holiday is like pretty much the hottest character, one of the hottest characters to ever exist. So I'm here for the Jude Law fandom.
Yeah. And I'm excited. He does, if Peter Pan and Wendy comes out this year, he's Captain Hook in that. So that will be fun.
Oh, yeah. I am excited for that. That is one am actually, I say very tentatively, because every live action has been bad, but that is one that I have been slightly more, like I have slightly higher hopes for, so.
Yeah, did you like Pete's Dragon? Was that one you were a fan of? Because this is this David Lauer, it's the same guy.
I never saw Pete's Dragon.
Oh, I've seen it, I think twice. I remember the first time I liked it, and the second time it was kind of boring.
I think
either way, yeah, it's like, it definitely has a lot more behind it than like the Jungle Book.
He has such a weird freaking filmography. Not that we need to keep the same, but I'm just looking at it.
He goes back and forth, yeah.
And it's like The Green Knight, A Ghost Story, then Pete's Dragon, Peter Pan and Wendy. I've seen Old Man and the Gun.
Old Man and the Gun. Yeah.
That was really bad. So.
Hey, we love the ghost A Ghost Story. We're big Ghost Story fans.
Don't tell Zach Smith.
Oh, man. I tried. I rewatched it. I tried. Didn't work. But thank you all for writing in. And at the end of this episode, we'll have another question pertaining to Orphan or Orphan First Kill. We don't know yet.
Are you an orphan? That'll be the question. If you were an orphan, would you fall in love with your adopted father?
With your adopted father. Would you adopt an orphan? Yes or no? Let's get into it. Let's jump right in. For both of these, we're going to have non-spoiler and spoiler sections. I mean, and I think if you haven't seen Orphan, then you definitely just shouldn't listen to anything after this non-spoiler.
Yeah.
Because if you want to watch it, even though the new one's a prequel, you have to know the twist in the old one. So just like, I mean, you can listen to this first non-spoiler section, but I would definitely try to watch it before you listen to the spoiler stuff, because I think the twist is like the best part of the movie. So let's get into it though. Do you want to read this quick summary I wrote up here about Orphan from 2009?
Kate and John Coleman are having a hard time adjusting back to normal life after the stillbirth of their third child, Jessica. In hopes of finding a way of moving on, the couple decides to adopt Esther, a 9-year-old Russian girl with a love of painting. However, Esther soon begins to exhibit signs of erratic behavior, leaving Kate to wonder if there is more to this girl than meets the eye.
Spoiler alert, there is more than meets the eye. Who would have thought? No, it's actually just like, oh wait, no, she's normal. Never mind.
Could you imagine how funny that would be? Like, that's the twist.
That'd be funny.
She's actually a normal child and they're all psychotic.
And well, it would just be Kate, because she's the only one.
Yeah.
Not to spoil, but like, she's like the main person. I mean, horror movies, you know, there's always one person like promoting the conspiracy kind of thing. So she would be the one that would go crazy. Maybe it is. Maybe that's like the read and she's actually like just spiraling.
Interesting.
I found out that this movie was inspired by media coverage. Actually, I'm not going to say this because this is technically not a spoiler, because this is like about the twist. So that I'll come back to that.
We'll bring it back
but
around.
But one thing I thought was funny was that this caused a lot of controversy around from adoption groups.
Huh.
So they changed one of the lines. The line originally was, "It must be difficult to love an adopted child as much of your own as your own." And they changed that to, "I don't think mommy likes me very much," which the first line was much better. And she's supposed to be evil. So that was, but what I thought was really funny was the DVD includes, like in the previews, a public service announcement describing the plight of unadopted children in the United States and encouraging domestic adoption, which feels like just very funny.
Who spearheaded that like campaign? Was that like a...
It just says, all Wikipedia says is adoption groups. Mm. It was not received well by adoption groups. So okay. I don't know. But there was even like in the Daily Beast, I guess, there was a review where that kind of commented on it and like said, I don't know. I guess it was a big deal.
Okay, here, I have a quote for you. It's from the Congressional Coalition on Adoption Institute. It says, "We are concerned that in addition to its intended entertainment value, this film will have the unintended effect of skewing public opinion against children awaiting families, both in the United States and abroad."
Mm.
And it was co-signed by leaders of numerous adoption and child welfare groups. The letter went on to explain that anti-adoption sentiments in popular culture could impede efforts to unite foster children and orphans with new families. I think that's fair.
I think it's fair, but I also don't think anyone's going to watch this movie and then be like, in a year, be like, maybe we should adopt, but wait, remember that movie, Orphan?
Well, and like, adoption processes now, there's like so many steps. Like, it's not like you just, in the movies, they always just walk into an orphanage and they're like, "Here you go, here's a child." But now it's like, you test the home, you do placements, you go through all this. So it's not...
Well, they don't just take a random girl and then like not tell like them where they came from, or like not give them to a family without knowing where she came from. It's very unrealistic. So I feel like
anyone who actually wants to adopt would not be Like, this movie would not cause them not to adopt, mm-hmm. if that is something you want to do. Yeah. But maybe for someone who just doesn't want to adopt, and then they watch it, they're add to the idea of, well, I'm never adopting a child.
See, that's why I don't want to adopt. Why,
yeah, so, I don't know. I get the sentiment, but at the same time, it's a horror movie, so...
Well, and I also feel like I don't know what they were expecting. Like, do you think they were going to cancel the movie? Like, oh, well, looks like we're not releasing Orphan anymore.
I guess it's nice that they did, like, they tried to be nice, though.
Yeah. It is funny, though, because it's like, it feels like, I don't know if that did anything either. But we should probably just get to the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this isn't, like, a huge movie. I think it is kind of have some more of a cult following now.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not doing it as, like, a we've never seen. But I do remember being scared of this movie because I saw, like, the cover in Blockbuster, I think. And it's a I remember the poster. It was like, there's something wrong with Esther, is like the tagline.
Interesting.
On the
one that I remember seeing as a kid was the Carrie cover.
The old Carrie?
I think so. There was just a specific Carrie cover of the face or something that I remember seeing in our local like video rental store.
Yeah, I think horror covers can do that. You know, you see them and it sticks with you.
Yeah, it's funny that this one, I didn't know anything about this movie until...
Well, I think, and then, like, I heard someone told me that was like, yeah, in that movie, like, she gets really, like, goes crazy if you touch her neck or something. And that was scary to me, I think. I don't know why. Like, that I don't know. And it's funny because that's, like, not even a big part of the movie. Like, it is...
But
I think I thought that was like the main thing was
right.
Like you couldn't touch her neck. I don't know. it was that's the only thing I knew about this movie going in.
Interesting.
And that it was about an orphan.
Yeah, I didn't really know anything going in. I don't remember even when I first heard about Orphan First Kill. I think you...
I don't either, yeah.
Had said we could watch it and I was like, oh yeah, I think I saw... like someone post a trailer of it on Twitter or something. And so I only have recently learned about this Orphan franchise.
Orphan fandom. Orphan hive.
So I didn't have a lot of expectations going in. But I had a Paramount Plus subscription. So I said, let's do it. Gotta use it for something. And then... I don't know. I watched it.
You wished you used it for something else.
Yes. We've talked about my relationship with horror movies. I tend to get more scared from horror movies than you do, for sure. And there's a few that, like, I have my limits of movies that I will probably never watch. But this one was not scary to me at all.
Yeah. I thought that when you asked, it's more just like a disturbing kind of like idea, but it's less scary and more just like,
yeah, because
cool,
usually
like, story idea.
I let you watch something first and then I have you tell me if it's
like we were going to do the Saw series and then
you watched it and you were like,
I said no.
And I'm glad that you did that and that I didn't have to watch them. But yeah, so you had said that like there might be a couple scenes or something. But I think it's more of a psychological horror,
yeah,
which is very different than like a slasher horror. Usually sometimes I get freaked out by slasher horrors because that feels more plausible.
Yeah,
so my
I
brain
agree.
Thinks
that's why
that,
I like slashers more.
Yeah, so we have the same feeling about them, but we come to a different conclusion. But this one isn't really that. Like, it maybe has a few slasher style like thematic elements in the way it's shot and the action in it takes place, but a lot of it is just like very, I don't know, it's a more long stretched out like that psychological horror style where it is building up to something. So a lot of the movie is just spent building certain aspects. So I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Great review. Yeah.
I thought it was just very mid. Like, it didn't really impress me, but there were things that I did like about it. But it's not one, like, Scream where I'm like, wow, this is great. Yeah. I'm definitely going to watch this again.
Yeah, I liked it more. I don't know if I'd ever watch it again. I think it was like one where I can understand why it has a lot of people that like it.
Yeah, I definitely
it's one of those
can
where
too.
It's like I it feels like a cult classic where it's like there's aspects of the story where it's like I can see why people would latch onto this. And it feels like unique too. The idea of the orphan, and then there's like the twist that kind of comes in where that kind of separates it too. So it's like a very unique idea. And I do think that it is, unlike the new one, I think it's filmed pretty coolly. Like, it feel like the sets are cool, and the way that it's that it looks is really interesting.
Sure.
And so I think it has like some style to it. So I think that it's like a good movie, and I'm glad that it exists. But I don't think like I'd ever really love watch. I don't think I'd watch it again unless maybe there was someone that hadn't seen it. And I do think the only reason to watch it is for like the twist, in my opinion. So maybe that'd be cool to like watch it with someone. But yeah, the main thing is just like it's very long. It's a very long movie. Even if it's not that long, like it feels very long.
You know, I watched a movie once. I don't know why. I just, okay, so can I tell a story about this movie? Because it reminded me of this other movie that I watched at one point that maybe some people have seen, called The Glass House, which is also a horror thriller movie that actually was probably the first horror thriller I watched, because when I went on, I think it was a Bible quiz trip or maybe it was a soccer trip. Ooh. I can't remember. It was either a Bible quiz trip or soccer trip. This movie was playing in the hotel. And I watched part
of it. Stellan Skarsgård? Wow. Oh, 21% of Rotten Tomatoes. That's right.
It's a bad movie. It's not good. It's also an adoption movie. And the kids' parents die. And then they go live with some friends or something. And then the guardians torture them or like really hurt them and try to kill them and stuff. But it has similar, it just made me think of it because, like, the house kind of felt the same to me, and the vibe kind of felt the same, and the whole, like, suspicious of certain things with this new family that you're around. And so it made me think of this movie that I have vague recollection of from, like, when I watched it in, like, 2012 or something, in, like, ninth grade.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, maybe this is 2009, so it's a little later, but it does feel like the 2000s kind of horror.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, very blue and, like, a little slower for sure and familial. It kind of reminded me of, like, the Haunting of Hill House kind of stuff.
Sure, it has a similar color palette.
Yeah, and even just, like, the family stuff in this first one.
Yeah, with the younger kids, especially.
Yeah, so I think, like, especially with more horror movies now, which are a lot faster paced and have just a different feel, in a good way, too. Like, it just was something I wasn't as used to in the last couple of years. It did feel a bit long, but I do think the pacing itself was actually good. So it's like, the pacing was slow, but it was well-paced, so it's tough. It's kind of like, that's kind of what I feel like about just like this movie in general. Like, it's well-made. Not everything really just worked for me. The performances were probably the best part, though. I think, like, pretty much everyone except the boy, the kid, who's in shorts, I thought did a good job acting. Like,
yeah.
Everyone in the family besides him.
Well, his part, his whole role was, I liked the idea of his role, like, because you needed someone who kind of, like, the whole time was like, I don't like the new sister. You know what I mean? Like, you need kind of someone who's antagonistic.
Yeah.
I just don't think they did it. Like, he needed more motivation to it, because they kind of were like, oh, he's being sort of left out. But I felt like his character just kind of was a placeholder the way they wrote him. And then, like, he wasn't the greatest kid to be playing it. And so, like, I think it would have spoiler free, but, like, other kids are involved in the climax. And there's a scene with him that's, like, I think it could have been a much more impactful and, like, pivotal scene if his character had been written better from the beginning, and if, like, a more, I don't know, a better actor. I mean, not to, like, say that a child is a bad actor. Like, he's definitely better than some child actors.
Yes.
But I thought the little girl did good, too. The younger girl.
No, she was great. Especially, like, there's a scene with her involving a car. She's in a car. That's, like, towards, like, I guess, the end-ish. And that, she did really good in that scene.
And in the final
yeah,
the final climax.
In the final, she plays a pivotal role in the climax. She kind of crushed it. And her role is, I think, more integral to the story anyway. So
yeah,
it's easier definitely to care about her. And then I think the parents did a great job that with their roles. And like the dad, he did a good job making you like just think he was like the biggest loser in the world. Pretty
he
much,
was
I
such
think.
A loser. I was like,
well, and it was I think in like the first half an hour, I was like, oh, he seems like a good guy because like he was going through a lot. But he quickly turns into not a good guy and just a dirtbag, pretty much.
Yeah, he's basically just the worst husband possible. Which, oh my gosh, he's a man? What? But I think that, like, they definitely, I think they did a good job of making you establish a certain view of a character from the beginning and then sort of changing how you view that character in the end of the movie. With, like, not just with the main, like with the supporting characters as well, not just because they right. always do that with main characters, but I thought with like the other characters they did the same.
Yeah, I wish that it was less, I mean it's hard with a horror movie because you know that she's evil, but I wish it was more like ambiguous if maybe she's actually not evil, because then it could have been like, because the whole story is like the mom thinks that she's evil but everyone else is, well the dad mostly is like, oh no, it's fine, you're just like going crazy basically. And I think it would have been interesting if there was more question around who was right. Because I think the whole time you know the mom's right. Because it's like, obviously.
Yeah. And I think when they show you, like, one of the better ways they could have done that was not show you the scenes of the girl actually doing something.
Yeah. A little too early, they show her something.
There's a scene where she. I mean, I feel like this isn't really a spoiler, but she pushes a kid off a playground and the kid falls and like gets seriously injured. And I think it would be interesting if like they wouldn't have shown her like actually pushing her.
Yeah.
And then you're like, she was standing there, so she probably pushed her. But then you're like, but did she? So like,
right, and the whole time it could be like maybe the mom is kind of like is kind of losing it a little. And then it's like putting you in that position a little
bit.
I
like it kind of
cool.
gives you the chance to see some of the it puts you more in the story of what they're experiencing in trying to learn the new facts that they're getting and like where did this kid come from, and then you're watching it wondering and trying to put the pieces together, but it's kind of all just given to you instead of giving the viewer time to, I don't know, think for themselves about it, I guess. Yeah, that's a good point.
But even so, I think Isabel Furman, I guess is her name. I think she was easily like the best part of the movie. That's what most people thought when it came out. She was really good in this movie, particularly, especially like easily like the best part. And I thought she did a really good job, even if like you knew she was evil. She played it well and they did a good job directing her, I think, too.
Yeah,
like, that's a tough role to like nail, I think, especially we can maybe move into the twist now, which will be spoilers. So if you haven't listened, watch the movie. I would stop listening. But yeah, the twist, I think, like, it hits in a way where, like, you can tell after it comes, like, it was just built up to very well, I think. And you can kind of see the pieces from before that kind of hinted at that. Which, yeah, the twist is that she's a 30... I guess in this movie, she's 33, right? Because it's, like, 2 years after the prequel. So she's a 33-year-old woman, actually. Even though she's played by, I guess, I don't know how old she was, maybe like 11, 12. So she looks like a 12-year-old or something. But yeah, she's actually 33.
It's interesting because her performance was very good. And I think if this was not a horror film, say this was a drama about a girl who was 30, but it's played by her.
That would have been actually pretty... That would be pretty great.
She's like just trying to pose and have a family, blah, blah, blah. You can make it not evil and make it inspirational. I don't know. I think she would have been recognized critically for the role. But I think because it is a horror movie, I don't think that she has the recognition that she deserved for this role. Because I feel like she's not a super popular actress. She's in blockbusters, but she's not like a leading role. And I think if this had been a drama she would have been, I almost see her taking the route that like Saoirse Ronan did, where she also was in Atonement around the same time. And like, because of Saoirse's role in Atonement, that was like such a big deal of like how well she performed as a young child. I think that this would have like made her more of a critically acclaimed actress, which is interesting that because horror is not as recognized as a
well, and she was really
genre.
Praised too. Like everyone like loved her performance too. So it's like funny that it just didn't get any like thought for that though.
Yeah. It's just disappointing.
I think the second movie, I don't know what you want to call it, definitely it leans more into that a little bit because
sure.
I think the first movie doesn't really care about making you empathize with her at all. But then in the prequel, she's more, I guess, like she's like the anti-hero of the prequel, I guess. It just is more interested in getting you to care or like empathize with her than this first movie is. Where the first movie, even though the same aspects are there, it mirrors a lot of the stuff with like the dad and like her wanting to be in love with someone or being in love with someone. This movie is not really it's not interested in making you like care about that as much. You're supposed to care more about like Vera Farmiga's character and like her struggle. So maybe if it had leaned more into that, it could have had a little more of a chance. But I still don't think, especially in 2009, that the Oscars would have nominated any like kind of horror role, especially in a movie like that. This wasn't like praised. It got mixed reviews. So
yeah, bummer.
Yeah. Unfortunate for her. Could have had a bigger career. Maybe after this. I don't think after this new one it will happen. But maybe we should just do an ad break and then we could transition to talking about the Orphan First Kill.
And we're back.
We talked about Orphan's, I guess, second kill, but now we're back
well,
to talk
her
about her first kill.
Her fourth, fifth, like, it's like...
Well, who even knows how many people she killed before the first kill?
Yeah, which one was
like,
the first
what is her
kill?
First
which
kill?
Was the first kill? Was the first kill...
It's a really bad title. It's like one of the worst
like,
titles I've heard in a while.
I feel like it should be named, like... the first family or like
well something to do with orphan that's not like first adoption or like adopt like something that ties in with the word orphan, you know, carries a theme, because first kill could be like any horror. You could do like Halloween first kill and it would work, I guess, technically. Like, who knows what that means? Just first kill. Like, okay, there's always a first kill in a horror movie.
Yeah, but this one, it definitely doesn't work as well.
No.
It's interesting to me that they made this movie and got the money for this movie.
Yeah.
Because I do think that it's good that more obscure horror movies are being made and are being popularized on streaming services. I think that's great. But it feels like such a weird movie to pick. Like, I guess she really championed it and, like, contributed
that,
a lot, which is good. Good for her. I'm glad that this role...
It's because it was her only leading role.
She
just wanted a new leading role.
She said, maybe I should go back. I just, like, it's not as interesting to me. Like, this plot line, like, once you watch Orphan... And you're like, wow, that's actually pretty interesting. And even if I didn't love it, it's like, that was different. And like, it was a story I hadn't watched before. But this one, it's like, like, there's not as much stakes going in. There's not a lot of excitement.
Well, because
like,
you know the ending. It's the story that you were told in the first movie.
So you already know what's happening.
You know everything that's going to happen. Let me just read the summary here so people maybe can get an idea of what this movie's about. It's a prequel. So it's about a year or two before the events of the first film. Lena Klamer is kept under lock and key in the Sarn Institute. However, through means of seduction and blunt force trauma, she manages to escape and pose as the missing daughter of Alan and Trisha Altbright. While their initial reunion seems to go well, it isn't long before suspicion arises about Esther's whereabouts over the past years. as well as some inconsistencies in her memory of her past life. So yeah, it's like the family, if you've seen the first movie, it's the family that like she was at before she went to the orphanage. And in the movie Orphan, they're like, yeah, her whole family died in a fire and then she was found there in the rubble. So like from the beginning of the movie, you know, okay, this is going to end and everyone that she's going to this family is going to die, no matter like who they are. So it already kind of takes some of the stakes and they have to like find other ways to build suspense, which sometimes it works and sometimes it just doesn't.
Well, and it's hard because it's the same exact plot. And so you have to do something different with it, even though it's the same. Oh, they think they're adopting a nice little girl and then she turns out to be a very terrible person. Who's actually an adult. And it's like, wow, surprise. And I think like the opening was good. I liked the whole escaping the insane asylum thing. I'm always here for a good escape plot.
This isn't spoilers because I watched the trailer and like nothing in the beginning is like even in the trailer. So you know everything after the trailer. So
okay.
Yeah, the Institute stuff was cool. And this maybe is a spoiler, I don't know. But like, they introduce you to a character in the beginning that I guess I didn't really know much about this movie going in, so I thought maybe she'd play a bigger role, but she doesn't because you have to wait till you get to the family. So I just thought that was kind of a cool idea where like you invest in the character and then she just like kind of, she dies.
Yeah, sorry, I almost think though it would have been more interesting to prequel and not do the story of the fire, but end the movie with her meeting the family.
Yeah.
Because so you already know what's going to happen. So it would have been more, because I found the stuff in the Institute more interesting because I was like, oh, this, like, we know she was here. How did she get here? What happened to bring her here? What were the first 30 years of her life? Like, those are kind of the things that I was thinking we would get. And then it was about the family. And I think my main gripe with this is that it just felt like a rehash of the other movie. And I mean, my main gripe was that I couldn't see it. And so
the cinematography
is it's so low contrast, high shadows, like black point is basically gray. And so the whole movie is like flat. And then it's also like so just dark, like you can't see anything. And most of the, like, I watched it during the day, which is part of my problem, someone might say. But I watched Orphan at the same time during the day yesterday. And I didn't have any issues with it. So,
wow.
But it just was frustrating because I was like, I was kind of interested in this movie. And now I'm sitting here being like annoyed because I can't even tell what's going on. And then two, like, once you get past the first establishing unit, it just gets kind of boring. And like, the acting is bad. I don't care about the characters. Because I think the thing with Orphan is you don't like the dad. The son, you're like, eh. But you like the girl, for one. You like the young girl, and you're rooting for her to survive. And for the most part, you like the mom. Like, you want her to come out as the winner.
Well, and the dad is a good actor, too.
Yes,
so, like,
and the dad was a good actor.
He's good to watch, too.
But in this one, like, you don't care about any of the other characters. And so I'm like, honestly, I don't really care if this girl kills all of them, basically.
Well, and they could, well, like I said, she is kind of like the anti-hero. So it's a weird dynamic. And also, like, they pick no act. Like, I feel like, I don't think I saw any actors besides her that I knew. Like, I hadn't seen any of these people, I don't think, ever.
I think I had seen the police officer in something.
Okay, the detective?
Yeah, I feel like he's been in something. Because he looked familiar.
That's true. He looked, but like, especially everyone in the family, like, I just like, I didn't know their faces, their performances were weird, which in one way will tie into the spoiler, which we'll talk about in the spoiler section. But it just like, from just once she leaves the Institute, like, and she kind of gets in the family, if for one feels very redundant, but it also just feels like off, like it doesn't ever click like into place. I think after the twist it gets a little better and it kind of then separates itself a little more, but then they never really go far enough to like make it its own thing. There were so many times where I was like, oh, maybe I thought one thing was like, oh, she's not as good right now as like impersonating a kid. And like, this is how she's going to learn in the first movie, like how she gets so good at like tricking them, you know? Cause I think like she wasn't as good as that maybe in this movie, purposefully. And they didn't really deal into that. And then the twist stuff, there's something that happens there. So it's like, they had a lot of chances, I thought, to like make it something different. But every time they could, they like went back to something from the first movie, which felt more just like a fallback. We're like, oh, we don't know what to do. So we'll talk about the painting, the neon colors, because that's like a reference to the first movie. Like, oh, okay. I thought we could maybe do something different here, but yeah. I guess not now.
Yeah, and I think like, I mean, that is interesting to learn where she learned the blacklight painting.
Yeah.
But I feel like if that is like, I don't know, like when you're only picking out those things and being like,
well, it feels like Star Wars, like Rise of Skywalker
it doesn't feel as like natural or organic. It feels very, oh, we'll do this because this happened in Orphan, like you said. Yes. Like, we'll do this because of this. It's not really like, this is what happened and then Orphan happens. It's like, you watch it and you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just think, like, this one, I just feel like it didn't hit well because the first one, it's like, okay, this is something that hasn't really been done before or, like, something I haven't really seen before. But then this one is like, if you watch back to back with Orphan, you're like, I just watched this movie yesterday.
Yes.
Like.
Well, and also, it's not anything to do with her performance, because I think she's still a good actress. But I think, like, there's only so much you can do with makeup and, like, not, because they didn't use any CGI, but she just doesn't look like a kid, like, at all.
Yeah, I think she could pass for a teenager.
Yes, but then they're saying she's like a 10-year-old or whatever, or like a, and I'm like, there's no way that anyone would believe this is like a 10 or 11-year-old girl, like at all. So that was one thing that just was hard. I was like, I was trying to look past it, but it was really tough.
I do have some thoughts about this. I think I have two thoughts. I agree with you. Think that's my first thought is it doesn't sell. I don't think it works. But my follow-up thought is that I can appreciate that they didn't use CGI. Like, I appreciate that they did everything they could to achieve the effect practically. And I think that's awesome. I can give them props for that because I know, like, with It Chapter 2 and all that, they're using a bountiful amount of CGI to make the kids look like kids who are younger. And that's fine. But I don't think it looks good. And I'm like, I think it's great. You did it and you went for it.
Tried.
And you said, yep, we're going to do it practically. I give kudos to that. But if it doesn't look like a kid, was it really worth all the effort it took to do the practical effects? Because I think there were a couple scenes that it worked. I think
especially when you're far away,
when you're
with,
farther
like, the perspective.
Away and you're not seeing her face, the face of a grown woman, and yes. You're not seeing like these other things, I think it can sell, but I just don't think it works.
Yeah, and well, let's get into the twist / spoiler now.
Yeah.
But I do think like that was kind of halfway through the movie. And it was something that kind of, for a little bit, and even, I think it makes it better. It turned me around a little bit, because like I said, I thought the performances were really bad. And especially, I was like, this mom is not acting like she is into this, like, her child at all. But then you find out she knows that it's not her child, because, like, her son killed her daughter, I guess, and she's hiding from him. Why? Because, like, colonialism, I guess. I don't know. They don't really make it clear. But I thought that was, like, an interesting idea because it was something different from the first movie. And it kind of was, like, made the other parts more clear because, like I said, I thought her performance in the first half was really off. And it was just, like, it was a negative. But then once you know that that's what she's playing with, I thought that it made it a little better. And also, it's like you only
marginally have, better. It, like,
you only have, in that case, the dad is really the only person in the family then that has to believe that she's a kid. Because, You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because so it's like, it makes it a little better because less people, I guess, have to be fooled. But I don't think they really do enough with the twist to make it like.
It felt as very, good as it could have been. To me, like it happened and I was like, huh. Like, it felt like they just threw it in because they needed something in the movie to make it different. And they were like, mm-hmm. What can make it different? Oh, let's make the brother a murderer and the mom. Like, I don't know. Like, I the concept is fine, but I don't think it sells in the way they did it. I thought that scene mm-hmm. where they kind of made the reveal was just, it felt very, like, gimmicky to me. And not very, like, shocking. Like, because I think for a twist, you want to be like, whoa, I didn't think about that. But it was kind of just...
I kind of was. I'm not... Okay. I mean, I wasn't that much,
maybe
but
it was
because
I couldn't see it. Maybe because I couldn't see
that's,
it, and I was only
like,
listening
who's that?
To it.
Who shot
but,
the guy?
But I wasn't, like... it didn't sell me to the rest of the movie. Like, because usually if there's a twist that grabs me enough that I'm like, oh wow, that is really interesting, maybe I am sold on the rest of the movie, I didn't feel that way. So it kind of happened and I was just like, oh, okay. And then I still had to
watch
it. Well,
it's weird
because
it happens like halfway through, so it's a different than the other twist where it's like, or the Fight Club twist, like a twist like that where it's like, oh wow, what a way to, and then it's like, oh, the movie's almost over, and then it's like kind of leaves you to think with a twist. But this one, it's like, it's almost like they were writing the script and they realized it was too similar and were like, we need something to happen. We need a twist. We need to turn the story around. Yeah. And like they put that in. It just, it doesn't work with pacing for sure. It at least made it more interesting. It made the second half more interesting to watch than the first half after she leaves the Institute. Because it was like, at least something different's happening and these characters are different than the characters in the first movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it could have been worse. That was what I kind of ended it with. I was like, it wasn't great, but it was short, which was good. If it was a long 2 hours, it would have been much worse. And there was parts I enjoyed, but overall, it's like, I don't really know if it was necessary to make. And I don't think that they should make any more like they're saying they're going. They might be.
Yeah, I just really think that they dropped the ball. I think they could have had a great Orphan prequel. I think it could have happened. Mm. And then maybe after that one, they would be like, oh, maybe we should make the story about the house fire now. I think that should have been the route they went. Because I think the whole part at the Institute was a different movie. And I was thinking, oh, wow, the reviews are pretty bad for this. Like, this seems kind of good. And then once we got to after that, I was like, oh. But I just,
and now
like,
we're here.
That is the movie I wish I saw. I wish I saw pre-Institute, Institute, Orphan. Like, that is the one that I wanted to do. Or maybe, like she's not even an orphan yet. So maybe this is, like, how she became an orphan. Like, that should be what it's titled. It's like,
and I don't know if they say they're gonna make other ones, are they gonna have to make like a prequel to the prequel, because this movie goes right up until the first one, and then at the end of the first one she dies. So I really don't know, like, when they say, oh, maybe we're interested in making more films if there's interest, like, where are they gonna make a prequel to the prequel? Like, where are we going?
Yeah,
or is she not
dead?
Yeah, which
is why they should have just done that in the first place, and then to make a sequel of this one. So it just is all...
It's very weird, very weird route. Maybe that should be, like, our question, is, like, what movie did you wish was a different movie? That doesn't make sense the way I worded it.
Like, what movie do you wish you, could have a prequel of? Because, like, I wish I could have a prequel of Orphan First Kill. I want the
Orphan's
prequel of
zero
this
kill.
Movie. That is what I wanted going in, and I didn't get it. And I want... Mm. If they're making that movie, I would watch it. Like, if they end up doing another movie in the franchise, which I don't think they should do, but if they do franchise it and they say, trilogy, we're doing the prequel to the prequel, I would say, okay, I'm in. Like, I'm not sold on it, but I'm in. Yeah, I don't know. Prequels are interesting. I just think prequels are so hard, and if you don't get it right, then it just flops. That's what I think. I think a prequel really has to be a banger to work, or it just doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah, so let us know what movie you would want a prequel for. I don't know what I would pick, but I'm sure there's something. I mean, there's so... It's just, like, basically, like, who do you like the characters of, and, like, maybe who, where do you want to see, like, where they came from is really what a prequel is for, you know?
I want to see a prequel of Ocean's 11. That's what...
Ocean's 10.
I want to see Ocean's 10 is what I want to see.
Ocean's 2? It's just George Clooney and Brad Pitt. It's just, like, their origin story. They start as kids, and they're, like, in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And they do, like, pranks. Or they do, like, heists at the school.
Yeah.
And they, like, well, steal their teacher's lunch money.
We can not have Brad Pitt in it. I think we should have...
Well, if they're kindergartners, then it's anyone.
What I want is a Danny Ocean movie. That is the prequel that I want. I want the origin story of Danny Ocean. It could be anything. His life. I want the biopic of Danny Ocean.
Danny Ocean, a life.
Yeah.
Danny Ocean, first heist.
It needs to be called something about an ocean, though. But, like, a pun. Mm. Like, not, like a sea movie. Like, they make you think it's, like, an ocean
Pond
movie.
11, because he's, like, a kid, so he's not a full ocean yet. He's, like, a pond.
Dumb. Dumbness.
Puddle 2.
That's what I want.
What about an origin for, like, they have 11 movies, one for everyone in the movie. Every person gets a prequel.
I'm here for it. We would have heists galore. It just is my dream.
Well, maybe 10, because you could do the brothers would be one. So
who would play young 10, George maybe. Clooney? That's what I want to know.
The kid from Orphan.
No, George Clooney. George Clooney would play George Clooney.
Yeah, using like
CGI.
Motion capture Irishman technology.
If I were a billionaire, I would fund a Danny Ocean movie. I would hire someone to write it, and I would say, come on.
Make it, guys.
Make it, guys. Danny Ocean.
Come on. I think it'd be fun. They're making they're still making Ocean's movies. Didn't they just announce Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie Ocean's movie?
Yeah, they
so
did.
So it's still a franchise. So they can just
That's not an origin story, is it?
No, I think it's just like Ocean's 8 was. Like, I think it's just like a heist movie, like under the Ocean's label.
Perfect.
I'm here for, I like heist movies. Yeah, let us know what you would want a prequel for. You can get us, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Our website, email, Spotify has a feature. You can answer the question. Just use anything that's in the show notes and let us know. And we will read that answer in our next episode, which is another edition to childhood classics.
Wow. And I am so excited to talk about this one because I talked about my video store. I have two memories of my local video store that we had just in town that we would go and rent movies. But I had two very specific memories. And one was seeing the Carrie cover and being freaked out by it. And the other one was getting this movie from the video store, and that movie is How to Eat Fried Worms. We got this movie and we got gummy worms, and
we should bring gummy worms to eat. I will eat them, and we should talk also about just like video stores in general. That can be like a subset conversation.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this one. This is one that has been on my you haven't ever seen this one. Right?
I haven't even seen it. It's a we've never seen's in a row for me.
But this is like this up to this point, we've done childhood classics that we both love. Like they're for both of us.
So this
and
one is
I took
different.
The pick this time, and this is my childhood classic, How to Eat Fried Worms. I've got lots of good stories about it. So join us next Tuesday.
Yes.
Get your gummy worms ready.
Get your dirt, your shovels, and your frying pans, and we'll talk about how to eat fried worms on Tuesday, which is when we release our episodes. Do you have anything to say before that time?
I was going to, what is the song from Annie? Oh, it's a hard knock life for us.
For us. Oh, because of orphans.
Because of orphans.
Yes. What if you, if I pirated DVDs, I would sell like a pirated version of Orphan, but then it would be Annie would be on the DVD.
That would be hilarious. That would be really funny. No, they'll do the Fight Club DVD thing, and you open the DVD to Orphan, and it's like opens to Annie first, so you think you've been duped, but then it's...
That would be so funny. They should have done that.
That
would have
been funny. Hmm. Maybe they did. You don't have the Orphan DVD. You don't have the Orphan DVD.
The Orphan DVD. I probably won't be buying it, so I guess I'll never find out. Let us know if you have the Orphan DVD. But that's all I have, so thank you all for listening, and until next time. I'm orphan number one.
And I'm orphan number two.
And we're
your second hand film orphan.